brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Innermost is supported by Vodafone. Whether it's friends, family, or, in our case, complete strangers, keeping connected has never been so important. Which is where Vodafone's unlimited data plans come in. To find out more, head over to vodafone.co.uk.
Hi, and welcome back to Innermost, a podcast about strangers and their secret lives. I'm Leia Green.
I've got to give this a go. I've got to get more involved, I suppose. Like, this seems far too significant to ignore.
We discovered this whole new world that I was a bit dismissive of before. Like, oh, that's just for older people or the people who've given up on life, you know, that kind of thing. And like, actually, I feel like it's like a new lease on life. It is amazing.
Today, I'm speaking to two people who've changed their minds about something they thought they understood and found themselves on very unexpected paths. That's coming after this.
Get ready to dust off your Maps app because things are getting back to normal. You can hang out in a park until you need the loo. You can visit a friend's house and sit outside it. You can go to a theme park and ride socially distanced roller coasters. Okay, so things aren't going back to exactly how they were, but in some ways, that's not a bad thing. After all, lockdowns made us better at staying in touch with distant loved ones, be it video calling, online watching parties, or just using messaging to check in on people we care about. Stay close to the people that matter as we move back into the real world. Keep connecting with Vodafone's fastest unlimited data plan with 5G at our lowest price, now £26 a month. Make reaching out part of your new normal. 2 and 10 megabit speed caps apply to unlimited light and unlimited plans. 5G speed available on unlimited max only. RPI increased 24-month agreement. Credit check coverage and terms apply. See vodafone.co.uk.
So, you've heard me say lots of times now that this podcast is all about strangers. But full disclosure, I'm blurring the boundaries a little bit this week.
Hello.
Hello.
The first person you hear is not a stranger to me at all. He's my baby cousin, Nat.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I've sort of wanted to talk to you about this for a while and we've never really spoken about it. And then I thought, well, let's do it for the podcast then.
Yeah, why not have an important family conversation and record it for people to listen to? It was a fairly ordinary day in that, like, I don't know, I just potted around for it, and then some family and friends came and I met them in the pub beforehand. We had like a drink and a nice time. And then I just... What happens is they, at least when it happens, they hold you underwater. Two people push you backwards into water and hold you under for a second and then pull you up. And like, that's the only bit that I was like, this is really weird, that like people that I know are gonna... I can, like, simulate drowning.
And how did you feel after it happened?
I felt really great. It's quite like a big decision to make because, like, I suppose when you're kind of declaring anything like that that is important to you publicly in front of other people, I feel like it's one of those things where like it's a decision that has to be considered quite a lot. And afterwards, I felt like I felt like a bit less of a fraud. Like I wasn't kind of just pretending to be a Christian. I was like, well, like I'm actually kind of doing it now.
What historically have you believed in or not believed in? Like, how would you describe your belief system, like going back? Because I guess I got the impression you were quite atheist, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think I had always been, until relatively recently, quite atheist. And like, I think when I was a teenager and like in college, I was probably quite ardently and quite vocally atheist to anyone who wanted to listen, which isn't that many people, and was really like, yeah, no God, religion bad as a blanket rule. And just like, no, oh, these people who believe are like very stupid, and like at best are very stupid, and at worst are like actively evil by like suppressing other people's freedoms and stuff like that. And then kind of as I got a bit older, like I still didn't believe in God at all, but I was like, well, you know, I don't really think religion is necessarily the root cause of bad things. People will do bad things because of what they believe, and they'll use whatever justification they have for it. And so I became kind of quite a passive atheist.
And then what began to change? Like, obviously you met Christians, but was there something that changed in you that made you more open to the idea of like changing your mind about religion?
Not really. So I actually met Christians and I started going out with a Christian as well. It was clear that her faith was very important to her and remained so. And I was sort of the opinion that if this relationship was going to go anywhere, I had to understand more about this Christianity and whether like...
This Christianity thing
that you talk about and like what are you up to over Sunday for a few hours? I started kind of popping along to the church every now and then and went on a course that's kind of similar to the Alpha course that like lots of churches advertise.
And we're going to worship now. And I know you know the drill if you've been here over the last few weeks. It's a bit.
Tell me about the course. What happens on it?
It's a course for anyone, and it's run by the church. They frame it as something like it's an opportunity to discuss like the big questions of life around like meaning and like is there an afterlife and things like that. So we were all in this room, and they were like, okay, if you want to like you know, pray and invite the Holy Spirit to kind of come and like meet with you or whatever it is, like you can do that now. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. But I just didn't hear that. and then I had like a really intense experience that was like really, really like emotional.
What happened?
They're like, just stand there and like close your eyes just so you're not distracted by anyone else. And then just like, just say it in your head just to invite like the Holy Spirit to come and meet with you. So I said that in my head. But I just remember feeling filled like with a sense of peace and love that I'd never kind of felt ever before. You know, sometimes if you feel like a massive sense of relief, you start like everything comes out, like when like a huge weight's been taken off, like a huge pressure's been taken off, and you just like suddenly like you're just like, oh, and then like I don't know, you might start like crying or there's like a huge like emotional outpouring.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I was just like, ah, I don't understand. why? Everything feels so nice and it's all... No, I just don't get it. For like an hour.
Oh, wow.
yeah, it was pretty... It was pretty intense.
Hello, Emma speaking.
Hi, Emma. It's Leia calling from The Guardian.
Hi, okay?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
So yeah, I guess first thing, can you just describe what your life was like sort of pre all of this COVID stuff?
So yeah, so before COVID hit, I was like, yeah, really typical sort of 30-something in London, going out all the time, doing a couple of nights out in the pub or going around to a friend's house for dinner. It was always dinners at people's houses, like going out. My bourgeois sort of middle class London lifestyle got kiboshed by COVID, basically.
And tell me a bit more about the dating scene. How were you finding that?
Yeah, so the dating scene was the typical sort of experience I think that most women my age are having, which is kind of scrolling through Hinge and finding sort of quite substandard kind of interactions happening on a regular basis, putting a lot of time and effort into that and sort of bemoaning the kind of lack of sort of good men out there and that kind of thing. So I was at my friend's house one night on a Friday talking about Hinge and how we were sick of millennials because millennial men, because they were nightmares to date, but had high expectations and kind of talk about everything that was wrong with guys our age, really. And so I said, right, well, I'm going to set my filters. I'd had a couple of glasses of wine by this point, and I was like, I'm setting my filters to anything. I'm just going to completely open it up, and also my distance, and just see what happens. And I was like, I think I want someone from Gen X to take me out for dinner and pay for me or something like that, I'd said.
Is Gen X, which one's Gen X?
Is it Gen X or Gen Y? The ones before us.
The ones.
Before us. Yeah, but not baby boomers yet.
Right, got you.
The ones that went to the Hacienda.
Got you.
And like still think they're cool, but they're all like dads and mums now. And it's a bit like, yeah, that kind of thing. So I did open up the filters. Anyway, this really nondescript sort of profile with this person who clearly had no insight into like social media because his pictures were all just like really ordinary and scrappy. And we just had the best like lunchtime sort of date, got on really well. But he had these shoes on, like, really, like, it was just, I was like, okay, he's like a proper businessman. He's older. It just didn't fit with my, I was wearing Doc.
Like a man, man.
A man, man. And I was wearing Doc Martens and like my big hoop earrings. And I was just like, I just don't know if we really sort of fit. Anyway, we went out for dinner. I don't know if I fancy him. And then we went out for dinner. We booked to go out for dinner. And he said to me as well, I've got a little girl that lives with me. And I, for some reason, just said, oh, that doesn't matter. I must have been interested. And then I'd come to meet his little girl. Then she got a cough and a fever, and she started looking really, really unwell, and rang 111, and they said, we all have to self-isolate for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And so I sort of had a bit of a decision to make. And, you know, I'd just met this little girl. I'd been seeing him for about a month, and I just thought, I'm just going to stay. I don't want to go back.
I feel my mind is disassociating from reality more easily, and the idea of going back to reality, to the outside world, simply freaks me out. This bubble I have created is full of thoughts that are not really confronted with the external world, so I don't really know what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking, it's right or wrong.
Do you mind if we mention your dad?
No, go for it.
Your dad, John, my uncle, died in January of last year. How old was he?
Last year he'd been 58.
So he was young and it was, you know, it was awful, right?
Yeah.
There's a really simplistic reading of this, which is your dad died and then you turned to faith. Like, do you feel that people read that into it? Do you see a connection between the two things?
So I think about this a lot because I remember sitting on the steps of the church after like a church meeting, and I was just going like, why are you trying to make, just speaking to God, and I said, why are you trying to make me believe in you when you're also killing my dad? It'd be much easier. I was like, why don't you just not die miraculously? And then I'll believe in you and it'll be lovely. Like, it'd be much easier to do it like that way. Yeah. Why are you trying to make me do this? Like, I don't know. I don't really have like a definitive answer for you, but like, yeah. I think that kind of sums it up. All the time that I was like becoming a Christian or becoming more Christian, I was having these kind of conversations with God. I was like, well, stop killing him. You can stop him dying.
Hello, my name is Finn, I am 12 years old and I live in Belfast. I've enjoyed walking around Belfast, wandering through the quad at Queen's University, all the while looking out for the colourful rainbows which dot the windows. The walks have introduced me to the beautiful botanic gardens. I'll never forget the wonderful scent and beauty of the hyacinth and camassia in full bloom, or peering through the window at the tropical ravine, admiring the waterfall of the humid paradise, just like when my mum was born. Luckily, my tennis club, Windsor, has now reopened. Unfortunately, you can only play family members, so I miss playing against my friends. But it's great to finally get some exercise and playing against my dad makes a welcome change from the usual walk. We must take time to appreciate the small things in life, like the bird song that wakes me from my slumber.
What do your days look like now? Describe kind of how it all works with the three of you at home.
Okay, so obviously I don't really lie until like 11 o'clock anymore on a weekend. But so every day is kind of, you'll get like a little knock at the door and like little pitter-patter of little feet coming in, because his little girl will always come in at 7 o'clock in the morning on the dot and jump into bed, which is great. And then one of us will go down and make the coffee or the tea while the other one sits and reads her a story or does some time with her before work.
Finish your plate and eat all your greens while keeping a lookout for horrible queens.
The virus stuff has just hit me into this new world that I would have just not, you know, I would have put one toe in it or something, but I wouldn't have done this. And just doing it has pushed me to be like, I can parent. This is really actually not that bad. So like, she's amazing. And like, you know, family life is amazing. And actually, it's hard. You know, she peed on my yoga mat this morning by accident. And I was like, oh, well. And like managing a work call at the same time. And, you know, I get it now.
Look, there's one in bed.
You've done the whole relationship backwards, haven't you? Because this should be your honeymoon period.
Yes.
And where I imagine, you know, you guys have taken a lot of steps, like you've met his daughter, you're kind of co-parenting, you've moved in, yet
yeah.
I imagine he's not met that many of your friends, for example, like it's all back to front.
Yeah, it's backwards. It is. But yeah, I mean, honeymoon period is kind of on hold now until she goes back to school.
And what do you think that you've learned about young children that you maybe didn't realize before? Like how has it changed your opinion about parenting and having kids?
I just think that I had the only thing that I was worried about, and that I did have a bit of a meltdown with him the other day, is I was like, I'm not gonna go to Ibiza anymore and be cool, I'm not young anymore, and like now I'm a mummy and I'm one of the mummy crew and I don't want to be in the mummy crew. And he was just, and I can't swear, but he was just like, it doesn't matter about, he was like, fuck the labels, fuck the fucking labels. He was like, I don't care. He was like, you know, it doesn't change who you are being a parent, like you're still you.
No, being a princess just sounds like a bore. Being a real girl is better, I'm sure. We think you're perfect, so please don't change. Life with a princess will be rather strange.
There's a world in which COVID didn't happen, right? And your dating life carried on as normal. Do you ever think about how, like, what that alternative reality would look like for you and for your new partner now?
Funnily enough, I think that I was probably underneath it all so ready for this and just didn't want to admit it to myself and felt a bit unfeminist maybe, or maybe it felt like it was going against the grain of what I was doing. So I think it would have happened just at a slightly slower rate with a lot more anxiety and a lot more of what ifs and a lot more messing about. And then it would have happened anyway.
There we go. Splishy, splashy.
How have people responded to this change? Because like our family are either atheists or Jews, or
yeah.
atheist Jews, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you don't, from my knowledge, have that many religious friends, or didn't before. Like, what have people thought when you've told them about this?
I don't really know what my friends think, because I haven't really talked to them about it. And I suppose with family as well, like, I think they just find it a bit weird. I think they've been like, this is very unexpected.
it was very unexpected.
Yeah, I think of all of our family.
Yeah, you were the least likely to.
Yeah, it's always the ones you least expect. do you see that anything has like changed
in you,
in me, or in like the relationships that I have with like people in the family? I guess.
I think people. No, I don't think it's changed any way that people think about you at all, regardless of what they believe about God and Christianity. I think for most of our family, they are
relieved that you found something that makes you happy. And yeah, I think there is a bit of a like, oh, that was a bit weird from Nat. Didn't see that one coming, but also like, you know, cool.
That's probably fair, yeah. Before I was a Christian for like a period of time, I had like a lot of significant episodes of anxiety where like I'd be like bedbound for like days at a time. And that like, you know, these things do come and go as well for people.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, but like since I have become a Christian, since I've like developed my faith, like that isn't a thing really anymore. And like maybe it's too simplistic to say that like, well, now I believe in God and like God's on my, like I know that like, God's on my side, like that's gone. But like those two things have happened at the same time.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 3 of Innermost. We'll be back next Tuesday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And we're still collecting stories, so if you want to talk to me, please drop me an email at innermost@theguardian.com. This episode was produced by me, Leia Green, and Esther Apoku-Jenny. Music and sound design is by Pascal Wise, and the executive producer is Max Sanderson. Again, please get in touch at innermost@theguardian.com if you would like to take part. See you next time.
Don't take this the wrong way, but your smartphone is cleverer than you. The clue is in its name. Well, that and a new project to fight COVID-19 that uses the almighty processing power that goes untapped at night. And they're not talking about your brain. Working with Imperial College London, the Vodafone Foundation's DreamLab app utilises people's mobiles while they sleep to create a virtual supercomputer. If they can get 100,000 people to fire up the app nightly for 3 months, they can analyse potential COVID-19 treatments that would take Imperial supercomputers a year. The more people who take part, the quicker it will be to do the vital research to help fight COVID-19. So show your smartphone who's the real brains of the operation. Turn it into part of the Dream Team, because that's the cleverest decision anyone can make. To download the app, search for DreamLab in your phone's app store. Legal terms apply. See vodafone.co.uk/DreamLab. The Vodafone Foundation is a registered charity.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.